The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Been off for the last week. Back at it. Had a great Father's Day. You know that moment, guys, where your 13-year-old says, I want to do whatever you want to do today, Dad, but why don't we watch The Godfather together? Like, okay. The Godfather. All right. 13. Yeah, we can do that. So we started doing the body count part on Godfather. Godfather 2 is the best of the Godfathers, just so we're straight with each other on this. So you know where I'm coming from. But it's a cool moment. And then my 24-year-old, she comes home from church. She works as a youth pastor assistant. And so she says, let's watch Godfather. So I'm in a good space. I'm getting waited on. We're watching bodies flying around. We're watching people get blown up, shot, and you know, the whole 10 yards. But my 13-year-old was really into the storyline and really into the idea of how to shoot a movie and what made The Godfather a classic. That was my Father's Day. It wasn't watching Phil Mickelson chase around a ball for a second time while it's still moving and hit it. I saw that on Saturday. Hope you had a great Father's Day. On the show today, Phil Savage is going to be with us. Phil is the new general manager of Alliance Phoenix, the new football league that will be starting here next February. He'll be the general manager. Rick Neuheisel will be the head coach. So we will have Phil Savage with us. Mark Detmer, one of the owners of Phoenix Rising FC, he is at the World Cup. I'm not sure what city he's in, but he's going to check in with us. Because I want kind of a man on the street thing of what the World Cup is all about. We can go through what it meant yesterday for El Tri to take down Germany and what a big deal that is for Mexico to beat the Germans, the defending champs. That's huge World Cup news in the very first weekend. That part's easy. I want to know what it's like over there because we in our country have nobody to root for. We do not have a rooting interest. I mean, you may be from Germany, you may be from Mexico and you're going that route, but the United States somehow, some way did not qualify to make it into this year's World Cup. And very disappointed in that, obviously. So we will check in with Mark Detmer. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports now brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You know that you need life insurance. When was the last time you checked into your personal situation? If you don't have your life insurance handled, go to sagicornow.com or log on to our website, Sports360AZ. You'll see the banner ads there. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Phil Savage in about 10 minutes. The big story locally is how the Diamondbacks played clearly with both hands around their neck yesterday in losing to the New York Mets. It's disappointing. They had a very strong start to the series against the Mets. The Mets aren't very good. Let's be honest. Let's be straight up with one another. You might be a Mets fan. That's your problem. The Mets aren't that good. The Diamondbacks took the first couple of games. Saturday they didn't play well, and yesterday they gagged away a 3-1 lead in the ninth inning with their closer on the mound, Brad Boxberger. And Boxberger came in with the gas can and the matches rather than his glove and the ball. Didn't pitch well at all. And before you know it, the Mets win by two. And they end up splitting a four-game series against a Mets team that you should take 3 of 4. Beyond that, tonight, Greinke throws. And I've not been on here in a couple of weeks, so I've had some time away. Greinke still is not doing what Zach Greinke needs to do. Zach Greinke is the third highest paid player in all of Major League Baseball. And his record is right at 500. Greinke's pitching tonight at Anaheim. He has not been the $33 million pitcher. He is being paid money for what he did in the past. That is never a good thing, in my opinion, when it comes to a baseball player who's out there every fifth day. Yes, once upon a time, he was really good. He was really dominant. He was the pitcher you wanted at the top of your rotation. Now he's really in this space, no better than second or third, maybe even third at times with this team. He's tied for the lead in losses with this club. One of them was a 1-0 game early in the year. I'll give him some credit. But by and large, you know what you're going to get. He's going to strike out 8. He's going to walk 3. He's going to allow 4 or 5 earned runs. His ERA is right at 4. And that's what you're getting out of $33 million. That's unacceptable. Flip side is they're sitting there atop the standings. But look out. Here come the Dodgers. We all know last year the Diamondbacks had a very strong start to the season. By the 4th of July, remember they go to L.A. They play them in a series out there. And it was not good. Fernando Rodney comes in with the gas can and the matches, and he blows a couple of games. Before you know it, the Dodgers had a 9-10 game lead, whatever it was. They blew the Diamondbacks out, and they go on and take the National League West. This year, given how the West is shaping up, there's not going to be a wild card coming from the National League West. There's simply not going to happen. I don't know if these are a bunch of teams that aren't very good or they're just really good and they beat up one another. But the bottom line is, if you look at the standings in the National League, the Diamondbacks are top the West, but they're not the best team, and they haven't played like the best team here in the last month. They've been better here in June. They haven't been great. You don't split four with the Mets and give one away like they did yesterday. You just don't. So that's where I'm at with the Diamondbacks. They're at Anaheim tonight, and a couple games there with the Halos out on the West Coast. The other big story is the Diamondbacks, outside of the Diamondbacks, is the Suns. The Suns have the NBA draft this Thursday. So when it comes to the Suns and the NBA draft, we know with the number one overall pick in the draft, they should take, in my opinion, DeAndre Ayton. I think most fans believe that DeAndre Ayton this Thursday night, just turn the card in now, walk up to the podium, get it out of the way, Ryan McDonough, go public and say, this is the guy that we're taking. He's trying to hang on and see who's going to step up at the last minute, and maybe you trade away. I'd trade away the number one pick if it's Anthony Davis. I wouldn't trade it away if it's Karl Anthony Towns. But there's very few players that I'd say, yeah, let's go make that move. The smart move to me is to go take DeAndre Ayton. This is not a sure thing, by the way. Anybody who says it's a sure thing, go back and look at number one picks overall. Anthony Bennett, complete bust. Greg Oden, complete bust. Some of these guys come through in a big way. Some of these guys kind of sort of maybe come through. But this is the smart, safe play to go. I'm not going to sit here and parse DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley. I like Ayton much better than Bagley as a player. It just do. For what the Suns need to do, give me DeAndre Ayton. I don't think that's the hard part here. The hard part here is, where are you at when it comes to the 16th pick in the draft? And you may say, Brad, I'm just focused on number one. Number one's easy. 16, so the Suns need a point guard. And they need a point guard in the absolute worst way. Doesn't matter if it's Colin Sexton at Alabama, if it's Trae Young at Oklahoma. Those are the two players that are sitting out there around 8, 9, 10. 8, 9, 10 is where you start to hear those names. And if you go the route of taking Ayton at 1, taking number 16, and say, I am going to go get Colin Sexton, or I'm going to go get Trae Young. If you had to ask me which one I'd want more, I think I would want Colin Sexton more than Trae Young. There's Trae Young. He's had a good run, but I thought there was a little too much hype around him. Didn't do as much as what I saw to Sexton. If you go that route at 16 and you just play it safe, which the Suns have done, which is why they haven't had a playoff game in almost 3,000 days. Do the math. 8 years since their last playoff game. Over 8 years. And you look at taking 16, and you look at taking, I don't care if it's Marquise Chris, you guys know I'm not a fan of his game, TJ Warren. If you go down the list of players that they could part with, I'd even go Josh Jackson. I'd go that far. So I like Bender. I think I keep Dragan Bender. But if you go the route of taking the number one and one or two of those parts, and even next year's one, because they've got multiple ones coming up, and make the deal happen and move up and go get Trae Young or go get Colin Sexton and put him alongside DeAndre Ayton, suddenly you're going to have people that want to watch this team again. And we all know that here in Phoenix, that this is, when the Suns are right and relevant, it's a Suns town more than anything else. It's bigger than the NFL. It is. It's bigger than what's going on with baseball. But they've run this thing so far into the ditch. They've been so bad for so long that just taking DeAndre Ayton on his own and saying we'll get around to addressing the point guard, I don't get it. I don't see it. Now, you could say, well, look at free agency on July 1st. I've looked at free agency the last 2 years, and what have I seen? I've seen LaMarcus Aldridge use them, and I've seen Blake Griffin use them. And so attracting players to Phoenix, which once was very easy to do under the ownership of Jerry Colangelo, is not easy to do under the ownership of Robert Sarver. It's not so simple as to say, hey, come on out here. We've got a welcoming sign and we'll attract the big name guys. I think you've got to build from the draft within. You keep Devin Booker. You add that point guard. You have DeAndre Ayton. You're not going to trade away all those guys. I think Bender could develop into a very good player for them. And all of a sudden now you go from 17, 18 games of winning. You've tried to lose intentionally. Nobody's happy with that. And fans are going to be back interested, energized, and I think entertained. Okay, so that's the root for me that's the bigger concern. I was trying to get away from everybody on social with Kawhi Leonard. And Friday night, when the story of Kawhi Leonard broke, and fans are sending notes about, well, the Suns should trade number one for Kawhi Leonard. Here's the thing, okay? Back away from the cooking sherry or whatever it is that you're nipping on, A. B, Kawhi Leonard's a free agent a year from now. Come on, you're not trading away the number one pick for a player who's not going to be here a year from now. It's like those that think that LeBron James should consider coming to the Phoenix Suns. That's not going to happen in your lifetime or my lifetime. It's just not. So you know, the Kawhi Leonard thing, I've got problems with him wanting to go to L.A. I have problems with Kevin Durant wanting to go to Golden State. It's worked out well for Kevin Durant. If Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James and Paul George all go to the Lakers and the Warriors stay where they are, the Suns just might as well be content being the eighth seed or seventh seed and play them in the first round and lose every year. Until Robert Sarver can attract big-name free agents and have guys that say, I want to come here, forget it. It's not going to happen. Phil Savage is next, former GM of the Browns with SiriusXM on the Alliance Phoenix. Now he is the new general manager. That is next. I am Brad Sussmat. All right, let's turn our attention now to what's going on with football next spring. We've had Rick Neuheisel on the show many, many times. Rick has moved back to the Valley. Very excited about that. Always great to have local talent come on back. The new name that you need to know about is Phil Savage, and Phil joins us here for a couple of minutes. He's going to be the general manager of Alliance Phoenix. I've had a ton of questions about this since coming on board. A lot of what I want to talk to Phil about, he's involved in many, many things. May seem pretty basic, but when you're starting up a football team or any sports franchise from that standpoint, basic is really good for fans. So Phil does a great job on SiriusXM. He has a book out, Fourth and Gold Every Day, the book about Alabama football. And he does all sorts of things that has been around the NFL, and including general manager with the Browns. Phil is going to be that face leading the franchise. He joins us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. How are you, Phil?
I'm good, Brad. Hope you're well. Thank you.
Yeah,
this is going to be a big undertaking from the ground up.
Yeah. What have you already encountered that you're like, wow, I hadn't given this any thought that I need to get this ordered, or has everything been pretty smooth so far?
Well, we are set to have our first league-wide meeting next week, which will probably answer a lot of questions that you and your listeners, and matter of fact, all the GMs will have, because we've been talking on a weekly basis. We've had a series of conference calls, essentially Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of each of the last 4 weeks, talking through GM things, talking through player personnel things, talking through league operation things. So when you think about all the different elements of putting not only just one team together, but an entire league across eight different cities, it's quite an ordeal. And we're working through a lot of that. We seem to have made a lot of progress in terms of how the players will be allocated across these eight cities, either through their college or an NFL or CFL affiliation. And all of that seems to be taking shape. And next week when we meet in San Francisco, I think a lot of us, a lot of our fears will be calmed, quite honestly, because there are excellent football people at the top of this organization. Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame general manager, six-time executive of the year. He's one of the co-founders, along with Charlie Ebersol, who is known as Dick Ebersol's son, but he's the person that put all the investors together so that this is a single entity organization. So in other words, all eight teams will fall under the same umbrella, especially in terms of like some of the PR, some of the operations, some of the things that can be done from the league office rather than at the individual club level, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure it does. Phil Savage with us as we talk about Alliance Phoenix, the Alliance of America Football League that gets started next February. What does the typical Alliance football player look like in terms of background and football experience from what this league is going to put out?
You know, I think one of the elements or one of the characteristics of a player that ends up on one of these teams will be the sheer fact that high school football now is very limited in terms of the spring practices, in terms of training camp ahead of a game, an opening game. College, very much the same way. You know, spring football has been reduced at the college level. There are no more two-a-days during training camp. And this is for all good reason, primarily the health issues and concussion concerns. But even in the NFL now, we've seen John Gruden as recently as last week, the coach of the Raiders, complain about the fact that there's just not enough time to develop at third or fourth quarterback on your roster that you think has some potential. And so I think one of the main ideas in terms of this league certainly is not to compete with the NFL, but to be an augmentation, to be an addendum to the league for those players who are not quite developed from a technique or fundamental standpoint, have not quite grown into their bodies yet. They're not fully mature yet in terms of their physical abilities. And so I think the ideal player, at least in my mind, will be the guy that is still very young, 22, 23, 24 years old, who wasn't quite ready for prime time when he went through the first cycle of the draft and trying to make an NFL team, but has some upside. And I do think that we're going to find a lot of diamonds in the rough. I think two areas that the league will really focus on, and I would add a third area, quarterback play, offensive line development, and then defensive back play. I think those are three areas where this league can really make a difference in terms of the production of players to go on to the next level.
And you would know well, because you were the executive director of the Senior Bowl for many years before taking on this challenge. And so I'm sure you saw players that may not have been ready, and it's just sheer numbers that they did fall through the cracks, or those kids that were given, let's just say, bad advice to leave school early. It didn't work out for them. And what's their option? There aren't any. Is that what you're referring to, Phil, is seeing some of those players come in?
Yeah, you know, this past year, as an example, you had 106 underclassmen declare for the NFL draft. 70 were drafted, but only 41 of those 70 were taken in the top three rounds, meaning that they're almost guaranteed of at least making the league for a couple years. But that essentially means 59-6. That means 65 players that came out as underclassmen are probably at risk. There's no guarantee that they're actually going to be up to speed and ready to go and make it onto an NFL roster, maybe as a practice squad player, but they need more time. And I think that, you know, those 36 players that were not selected at all, I think we will see a good number of those players come through the Alliance in one way or fashion as soon as next spring, but certainly over the next couple of years.
I'm having people send me notes as we're sitting here talking with Phil Savage. He's going to be the general manager of the Alliance Phoenix League, and they're asking about Johnny Manziel. I don't know if you can even comment on players that are north of the border, or if you can, is that the type of player, too, that you'd be looking at, the veteran that has had a rough go in the NFL that's trying to find his way back?
Well, as my good friend Rick Neuheisel has referred to all of this, he's calling it a league of opportunity. And I do think that this league will give players a second, third, and sometimes fourth chance from a developmental standpoint, from a maturity standpoint, sometimes from a situation that happened off the field that didn't go well the first or second time through. I do think from a player standpoint, you're going to see a number of prospects get recycled and get a second, third, or fourth opportunity. From a coaching, scouting, broadcasting, medical, training, game officiating, I think a lot of people in those walks of life will get a chance to get into pro football for the first time. So it's truly going to be a league of opportunity. For someone like Johnny Manziel, I think for him, there's going to be different levels of allocation, at least based upon what's been talked about to this point. So In other words, he played at Texas A&M. Texas A&M will be allocated to one of these eight teams. There's going to be a geographical element involved in that. Mm-hmm. For the schools that are not allocated, it sounds like the next level of allocation will be NFL or CFL affiliations. In other words, if there's eight of our clubs, probably each team gets four NFL teams. That is, a guy gets cut from that squad. If he doesn't fall into the college allocation, then he goes to the pro allocation. And I think their thought on all this is to try to have a geographical tie, A, but then B, to find the right balance amongst players so that there is a competitive nature across all eight teams this first year. And I think that's one of their first and foremost concerns, is just to make sure that everybody's on equal footing, on equal playing ground, so to speak, to get started this initial year.
So there'd be a lot of Arizona State, NAU players potentially, or players within the region that would be looked at first and foremost on the college level, if I'm understanding you correctly. Is that right, Phil?
I think that would be correct, whether it's a player that's 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years removed from, say, as an example, Arizona State, mm-hmm. then his first allocation, the first funnel, so to speak, would probably, most likely, none of this is in stone yet, but right. would send him to us first. And if we wanted him, great. If we didn't want him, then he would fall through and go to the league-wide pool of prospects that would be out there. But there will be a geographical element attached. And obviously, being in Phoenix and playing at Sun Devil Stadium, ASU, Arizona, NAU, all of those make sense for us.
How about the player that has had the run away from the league because of injury or something that did happen, and they're gone and they're in their late 20s, early 30s? Is the age limit, I know you said this is what it looks like much younger than that, but could this be a place for a player who says he wants to come back to it, or is this not the space?
You know, I would say that the door would be open for someone like that. But I do suspect that this will be more of a developmental type of league. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this case, what you're talking about is maybe a rehab assignment, almost,
sure.
where someone has had an injury and the NFL teams are a little bit leery of it. They want to see him in action. He gets a chance to come in, go through a training camp with Alliance, play 10 games in the regular season, prove that he's healthy, and then have an opportunity. I think the timing of the league really fits well, because it's going to start the first weekend after the Super Bowl, and the regular season will run through the middle of April. And so when the season ends, a lot of these players will have an opportunity to then reconnect with an NFL team by May 1st, and now they get to go through all the OTAs
right.
and all the mini camps and not fall behind. And that was one of the issues with NFL Europe, you know, which expired about 10 years ago, is that you'd allocate and send players to that league, but you wouldn't get those guys back until the first or second week of July. They were worn out, A, and B, they had missed all of your spring stuff, installation, so they were woefully behind when camp opened. So I think that this really gives a player an opportunity to develop, continue to hone his skills and talent, and then still have an opportunity to get to an NFL team in a timely manner, where he actually has a reasonable chance to compete with other guys at his same position.
Well, I feel really good at the fact that you, of course, have been a general manager at the highest level, and you've done a lot of great work with the Senior Bowl and your work on Sirius XM. And Rick, too, I have a lot of respect for that. Phoenix is headed in the right direction. I know the fans here are excited about it as well. We look forward to meeting you in person and talking more down the road, Phil. Thanks for the visit today.
I appreciate it, Brad. Of course, Rick and I worked at UCLA in 1990. We've been friends ever since, and we independently were talked to by the league, and then we reached out to each other almost simultaneously in terms of trying to pair up. So I'm really excited about this opportunity. It's something fresh. It's something different, and I'm looking forward to getting out to the Valley of the Sun sooner rather than later.
Thanks, Phil. We'll see you down the road.
Okay, thank you.
There's Phil Savage with us. Good stuff there. The general manager of Alliance Phoenix that is coming soon. Mark Detmer from the World Cup on the other side, Phoenix Rising co-owner. What's it like being in the World Cup environment? That's next. All right, let's turn our attention to the World Cup, and in particular in this segment on what's going on with Phoenix Rising FC. Of course, the United States is not in the World Cup. I've had people ask, who am I rooting for? I'm just rooting for competitive, right? Like when El Trey takes down Germany, that's big stuff. I'm not anti-Germany. I'm not rooting for Mexico. I just thought it was a hell of a great match. The Germans are defending World Cup champs, and Mexico beat them. So they'll play South Korea coming up on Saturday. Rising FC the other night, we've got to show this little piece of video of the goal that Jason Johnson scored. This was the other night. Go ahead and roll that in, guys, because it was about as good a goal as you're going to see. This is Jason Johnson. And just puts it out there. And this has had over 2 million views. That's as good a play as you're ever going to see. Mark Detmer joins us now, one of the co-owners of Phoenix Rising FC. What'd you make out of that goal as we joined us via Skype the other night?
Hey. Yeah, good morning, Brad. Thanks for having me on. It's so good to see you and hear your voice. I agree with you. That Jason Johnson goal set up from Solo Asante over to Amadou Dia in the corner, who had just a beautiful cross back in. And if you saw Jason's interview after he scored that, which I used to call a bicycle kick, but I think people call scissor kick now, goal. Jason said, I've been working on that in training, and some of the guys are, laughing at me that I practiced that, but he felt obviously really comfortable with his position and in the volley coming in from Amadou Dia, that he took it and he ripped it. I mean, it wasn't like he just hit it. I mean, the goalie doesn't even react to it in the play because it's coming in so hard and fast and such pace on the ball that it's just exciting football for us. And that's what we're trying to create, as you know, in the Valley. And you've been such a great supporter of ours, with Phoenix Rising and our professional soccer team here in Phoenix.
So that happens the other night. You're having a good season. You had a change in coach. This was something where an opportunity for Patrice showed up. Rick Schintz comes in. Talk about that a little bit for the fans and what transpired here in the last week or so.
Yeah, that's part of the soccer world, and again, this is probably true of all sports and the sports world, people are given opportunities. We provide a platform at Phoenix Rising for players, for coaches, for training staff. And if given an opportunity, we're not the type of group to pigeonhole anyone. Patrice was given a phenomenal opportunity to head over to Egypt and run a really big club there. And a very storied club. And we, sat down and talked about it and said, Patricia, you have to take it. We understand. And it gave Rick Schontz, who, a year ago was our interim coach when Frank Yallop left, and Rick the opportunity to step up. And I'll tell you, Rick is night and day different. This year he's got the tutelage of Patrice and with Frank Yallop. And Rick has created his own style, which, as we've seen these first two games, he beat Tulsa 4-0 and we obviously just took town the other club 3-0. So he's 7-0 against two sides in his first two games. And then we'll hit the road to go to RGV Toros. And then we'll come back and have a home game June 29th on a Friday night against Orange County, which is one of our big rivals. And we're just pleased with Rick and what he's been able to do to get the guys ready to play.
So I want to get into, and it's good stuff there, Mark, but I want to get into, because I'm getting fans asking me the question here, what is going on with MLS that can be shared? There has not been a whole lot out there. Other teams have been added to MLS. Where is Phoenix at in this process? From my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, the league is supposed to come out here in the next 30, 45 days, assess the stadium situation. By the time you get to December or January, they're going to make an announcement on adding another team. That's what I had heard. Is there new information on that front? What can you share with the fans on MLS and the bid by Phoenix?
It's great questions, Brad. We've been working hard. I mean, that's the punchline. The ownership group, we work tirelessly towards our MLS bid, and we've been invited to come back to meet with MLS in New York to introduce Alex Tseng to MLS to talk about our site. We have a number of sites that are very much in the running, and we're working on some new additions to the stadium that'll be really exciting. And I think we're second place overall in the USL right now, and we're probably sitting somewhere there relative to our bid for MLS. We have Detroit and Sacramento that have been vying for spots, as you can imagine. And we're going to do all that we can as an ownership group to prove that we have the right market, we have the right ownership group, and we have the right stadium solution. So, you know, being invited back to New York, which will probably occur in July, is what we're planning, will help us further our bid for MLS.
So the stadium sites, initially the thought was that this, where the present stadium is, the pop-up stadium, so to speak, at the 101-202, would be the site. That has since changed. A lot of fans aren't aware of that. It could be one of many, many places. I've been told it's a 7-mile radius in some area, some direction of where the new spot will be. It could be one of many, many locations. Is that still the case, or have you focused in on one spot in particular?
We haven't focused on one spot. We very much cherish our relationship with the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community. But with that, we have to just really, for the fans' sake, for the strength of soccer in the state of Arizona, we have to look at all sites, you know, and we have to weigh out the pros and cons of each site. And so with that, we're not prepared to announce a site because we don't have all the details ironed out. And candidly, that's a very important piece for us to have, again, relative to our bid for MLS. So again, if you're reading the tea leaves, we're hopeful that by July we'll have a site that's ready. We'll have our stadium plan on that site with our ownership group and our complete equity and debt financing package to present to MLS in New York in July.
And this isn't any dissatisfaction, just so I'm being clear with the viewer, and correct me if I'm wrong. This isn't any dissatisfaction of where you're presently located. It's just that may be able to be used for other avenues, other ventures in the business world and in building there, which you are a part of. Is that correct?
No, that's absolutely right, Brad. Thanks so much for the help and assistance and the clarification. Everyone's focused on where's the stadium going to go, but the truth is we're still going to have training fields. We're going to have youth fields.
Right.
We're building a soccer nation out of Arizona. And with that, there are other options or opportunities, I should say, for other land sites. It doesn't just have to be the stadium.
Yeah, Bobby Dooley and I spoke together at the Mesa City Council about their project they're putting together, along with several others. And yeah, maybe that the South Mesa project, the Mesa Plays project, could be a site for a training facility. So there's a lot of moving parts, to be sure. The stadium, you alluded to it a little bit, and this is kind of behind the scenes, but I think fans have asked many, many questions to me on it, Mark. What is it that you are trying to change or tweak? You alluded to it a little bit earlier. You had renderings earlier this season that were released earlier in the year, I believe. What is it you're trying to add or maybe change on those renderings?
Well, our two main focuses are player safety and fan comfort.
Okay.
So we're going to do what we can to continue to grow and look at other designs from other cities and push the envelope relative to, one, the fan experience, that if you're leaving your home, we want to do everything we can to get you from your house to your seat as effectively and efficiently as possible. And then the other is that once you get in your seat, that you're comfortable. Whether you have heat, you know, mitigation is a major concern in Phoenix in July and August, obviously. But food, drink, sight lines, if you will, so that you're very comfortable. And then, as I mentioned, the players are very safe on the pitch relative to our heat mitigation strategies.
Who's mentoring you through all this? Because you're somebody that, you know, I've gotten to know you in the last couple of years, and you're killing it on your personal business side. I think all of you owners have done a very good job of staying in your own lane, so to speak, even during the tough times. That this group is still together, to me, is a very good sign that this can get pushed across the finish line. Just wondering from a business side, of business of sports side, Mark, because there is a big difference, just business side versus sports business. Who's mentoring you guys in this group? Who's keeping you in line?
It's a great question. And we spend a lot of time working. As you know, we're so covetous of our culture at Phoenix Rising. And with that, we, you know, Berka Bakai, running a publicly traded firm at Kona Grill, and his experience with working with lots of people is just right out of central casting as our governor of the club. Tim Reister and what he brings at Reister Advertising for PR and messaging and advertising. And Brett Johnson and his private equity in order to, you know, bring in the Alex Sengs to the group and manage Goldman Sachs and our capital stack. And then, you know, as you know, my swim lane is real estate. So working on the stadium design and the location for the stadium and how we negotiate that site and the future sites for training and youth. We're very good at seeing our swim lanes. And then you have the Dave Stearns, who's unbelievable, coming from Connect Wireless, Dave Rappaport, whose background is in music and entertainment, and Bill Krause, who's also a finance guy to make sure the books are good and clean as a CFO type of role. I mean, we just collectively are working hard at that. And, you know, we get mentorship from different people. Very candidly, Didier Drogba, that was part of why. I mean, he's a great player. He's a world-renowned athlete, but he brings so much to our ownership group with his experience. You know, my own personal friend here locally is Jorge Campos, who you probably know, who played on the Mexico team. And Jorge and I bounce a lot of ideas off each other. And all of us collectively, Burke's got his relationships with Galatasaray. Tim has his relationships with soccer, with his brother-in-law. And so we kind of go out to our community, kind of beyond our board, to bounce ideas off of and get their advice in the sport.
Before I let you go, we're talking with Mark Detmer, co-owner of Phoenix Rising FC. If you were to look up and down where the franchise is right now, is it in your best interest? And if you can't go too far down this path, I understand, but I've got to ask the question because I'm getting asked it by a lot of people right now, to partner with one of the existing sports franchises because they are all in the business of getting buildings done? Or is it, Brad, we've got to be on our own?
Great question. We would be happy to partner with other franchises, especially for stadium solutions. The challenge we run into is that the soccer pitch is, you know, the largest in relative size to a stadium, all the way down to the ice rink or the sheet of ice that's probably the smallest. And and so it's a challenge. We've asked our architects to look at that and what is the most, from our perspective and actually our architect's perspective, compatible relationship, you know, whether that's American football, which is probably the most compatible, but, you know, I don't know that necessarily there'd be a good fit for Rising and the Cardinals. You know, would Chase Field and the Diamondbacks be a good fit? You know, could we somehow work with the Suns or the Coyotes? You know, we're open to discuss any of those potential solutions. But again, a big part of it is how do you design around the stadium and with that, the seasons that overlap with the different sports.
Have you heard from those teams?
Oh, yeah, we're in communication. They're so great. I mean, to be honest with you, Arizona as a sports town has been phenomenal. You know, relationships with the Bidwells, the relationships with the Diamondbacks and obviously Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick and Robert Sarver and collectively the group at the Suns. You know, we've been very pleased. Steve Patterson and the Coyotes have reached out on a number of occasions. So there's a lot of camaraderie that actually occurs, even though some people might consider, you know, that you're competitors. The truth is there's so many people that are so pleased, I think, with sports in Arizona and Phoenix that they're supportive of us as we are of their clubs.
But so to sum this up, to put a bow on this, to answer that question about where you're at, it's Sacramento, it's Detroit. You're going to get your stadium situation presented next month, and then it's lobbying for December or January to find out.
That's right.
In a nutshell, I've got it right.
You've got it right, Brad, as usual. And so we're not going to stop. We're working tirelessly towards that goal of delivering MLS to Phoenix in first division soccer to Arizona. But right now, Phoenix Rising, we're sitting second place overall in USL. We're pleased to partner with FC Tucson in Tucson and to continue to grow youth sports with the Scottsdale Blackhawks recently, which we announced that merger of clubs. And really, again, trying to do what we can to move Arizona soccer to the highest level.
Good stuff as always. I appreciate your candor on this because I've gotten run over with people sending me questions during this interview. And I just think they need to be aware of where things are. And as usual, you deliver. Thanks for the visit. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Brad.
It's Mark Detmer with us from the Phoenix Rising Group, one of the co-owners. Yeah, there's just a lot out there with World Cup going on right now. People want to know. They want information. You know, don't sit on things. And I think Rising has been really good on that front. He mentioned Alexander Zhang a couple times, and that's the billionaire that was brought in back, I believe, in January, February. I sat with him at one of their events and very impressed with this group and how they have built it. It's a challenge, though. It really is. It comes down to they need people in the stands. They're not getting the 20,000 as others are doing, but I think they're doing better activation, better awareness. I go around town, I see stuff with Rising everywhere. And when you go to the event, it's just the same as going to a Diamondbacks or a Suns or a Coyotes or Cardinals game. It's a pro feel to it once they get out on the pitch. You know, they don't have their own stadium yet. I get that, but that's coming. I want this to work, but if it weren't going down the right path, I wouldn't put Mark on the show for 15 minutes. I wouldn't be talking about it. It would just be another group. This group's different. They really are. I've been impressed with them. Take a time out. Some final thoughts on this Monday show. Stay with us. All right, before we get out of here, it is coming down to the wire on the NBA draft. That is this Thursday. Jordan is going to be out there. Haley is going to be out there. I think Eric's out there. Eric's taking time off as usual. Jordan, do we know how many days that Eric has taken off already this year? Is it we're well into double digits, right?
It's lower than usual. That's the sad. It's been
what
a
are
lot.
You talking about?
It's been a lot, but it's been lower than usual.
Is he like,
I have not filled in nearly as much as I have in past years.
60 days, maybe?
Probably a solid 2 months.
He's never here.
Wait till TCU football season happens.
Oh, I know. Here's the thing. So this is the nonsense that guys like Jordan and myself and Haley have to put up, and Jared, chairman of the board over there. This is when Eric comes in. He's like, yeah, I'm going to TCU against some who cares team. And well, I need to leave on Thursday night. Well, what are you talking about? We have high school. We have college.
We have things going on,
you know. And so he's at the College World Series. Is that?
He is. Yeah, he's in Omaha.
He's in Omaha. I don't know. Is Arizona State there? No. Is Arizona there? No. What's he doing in Omaha? Why are you here today? There's things you could be doing.
There are a lot of things I could be doing.
Is he here tomorrow?
I believe he is.
You believe? I'm not sure. I never.
If not, we may not have a producer.
All it is I just look up and see who's here. I mean, it's no offense to you. I'm glad you're here. Mm-hmm. You know, you've already taped Roundup with Jason and. Mm-hmm.
It's been a busy Monday morning.
He's jerking around at Omaha. I don't get it. So, chairman of the board, as always, is Jared Nielsen. He is the Iron Man. Appreciate Jordy being here today. Haley as well. And Harley, the intern. We have tonight Diamondbacks, and that's about it as we get ready for the draft and then the World Cup, too. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your day.